Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's fantastic to have your company for another episode of the show. Now today we're talking about 9 essential business lessons for practice owners, and these lessons I'm so excited to bring to you because having had the opportunity to work with many, many practices over the years, it's really apparent that success leaves clues. And what I want to share with you are some of those clues so that you can go on your own journey to whatever success means for you. And as you unpack these lessons with me today, I hope you're going to think about them, digest them, but adopt them into your practice so that you can enjoy the success that you're striving for. So without any further ado, let's get into these 9 lessons, these 9 big secrets, and then think about how you're going to apply them in your own practice. Now, the first big secret is the importance of mindset. Now, I don't think this is a secret in the sense that it's an unknown thing. But what's really interesting to understand is we can give the same strategies, the same tactics to 2 different practice owners, and one will work really well with them and achieve all manner of great things, and others will not. And the only thing that's really differentiating them is what's going on in their psychology, what's happening between their ears. And so what I've come to appreciate and understand is that the tactics and the strategies, as important as they are, is only about 20% of the equation, and the rest of it is psychology. The ability to get that mindset right is going to be the key difference between being able to take a good idea and implement it versus hearing a good idea and ignoring it, because all the tactics and all the strategies under the sun won't work if you're casting those seeds into barren soil, right? That's the way it works. And so one of the things that we've noticed with practice owners over the years is some people say, oh, that doesn't work or this doesn't work, but the same strategy that they're saying doesn't work will absolutely work brilliantly for someone else. So what's going on here? Well, it's got to be the psychology. And recently I was in Las Vegas for a marketing conference over there, and Tony Robbins was one of the speakers there, and he spoke at length about changing state. And I think this is a really key and important thing, is being able to master the inner game means being able to be master of your own state. And of course, we want to be in a state that's productive, in a state that's resourceful, in a state that's accepting of new ideas. We want to be able to identify and overcome our limiting beliefs and install better beliefs that do service. And I think when it comes to mindset as well, one of the things I really like to do is to go right back to the beginning of our mindset training and go to one of the OGs when it comes to the laws of success. And that, of course, is Napoleon Hill. And many of you would have heard of his book, Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he talks about having a definiteness of purpose. Now, I think this is really important as it ties into mindset and psychology as well, because if you know exactly what you want and you're very clear about that, then it gives you something to align your resources to. It gives you something to focus on. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. It gives you a reason to push through. And of course, we all have up days and down days. And if you can adopt Tony Robbins' strategies to change your state, then of course, you're going to have fewer down days, which is for sure. But we're human, right? And so what we're going to need is a magnet to pull us through the other side. And that magnet, of course, is our vision, or as Napoleon Hill says, our definiteness of purpose. And what I would say to you is that definiteness of purpose needs to be something more than money. Perhaps in the early days, money is a motivating factor and it's a useful thing to kickstart your drive. But soon enough, you'll accumulate money, and soon enough, money will become less of an urgency or less priority in your life, and you'll be needing other things. So if you don't have something else to drag you through, something else to pull you through out the other side of those difficult times, you're going to find that you're going to be stuck in those difficult times, or you're not going to make the leap to the next level of success that is well within your capabilities, right? So we've got to make sure that we are focusing on our definiteness of purpose, clarity of vision, something more than money, having some resources to make sure we have the ability to change state, install better beliefs, uninstall the limiting beliefs as we move through this. So this is key number one. Every single successful practice owner I've worked with over the years has mastered the inner game. They've been able to master their own domain, which is their mental bandwidth between the ears. So that's big secret number one. Big secret number two is understanding identity. And this is really, really important. And I didn't really understand this for a long time. It took me probably into my 30s to really kind of get this. And the big thing around identity is how you see yourself will determine what you achieve in your business. So if you want to have a true business and you don't see yourself as a business owner and you see yourself as a dentist, you'll always act like a dentist. You won't act like a business owner. If you see yourself as someone who's poor, you're always going to struggle when it comes to money. If you've got an identity around poverty, it's not going to allow you to move to an identity of wealth, for example. It's going to be impossible for you to progress beyond a modest practice if you don't shift your identity. And so that identity shift that needs to occur is firstly from clinician to business owner and from poverty to wealth, if that's appropriate for you. And so I guess the big question is, well, how do you, change identity? And some of you might be saying, well, Jesse, I like being a dentist. It's okay. I'm happy being a clinician. And that's okay. But if you want to have a business, we need for you to be able to switch hats between your clinician hat and your business owner hat from time to time. And so I guess the question is, well, how do you change identity? Well, the first way is to do what many of, I suppose, the A-list celebrities do, and that is to adopt an alter ego. People like Beyoncé with Sasha Fierce. When she's on stage, she turns into Sasha Fierce. And Beyoncé at home is a bit more quiet, a bit more private. Equally, Eminem with Slim Shady, that's his alter ego. And then, of course, Marilyn Monroe is the alter ego of Norma Jean. The very famous Marilyn Monroe is a constructed alter ego. And so we need to think about our alter ego when we step into the arena of business. Who's the alter ego that we need to adopt when we're being a business owner? Who's the alter ego we need to adopt when we're being a leader? Who's the alter ego that we need to adopt when we're being a clinician? So we need to be able to switch between identities. But if we stay fixed in one identity, we're never going to progress. We're going to be stuck with what we've always had. Yeah, it's really important to ask yourself, what do I do for business? And some of you might say a dentist. And I would say to you, that's what your profession is, or that's what the deliverable of your business is, but you're in the business of marketing and selling dental services. And so we've got to adopt the mindset of business if you want to be a business person. And again, if you want to change that identity or learn how to change that identity, one of the simplest things you could do is begin with a whole series of things like affirmations. I am a successful marketer. I am a successful business owner. I am a successful leader in all the things that I do. And so that's, again, a really useful way of installing new identities. So again, if we stay fixed in one identity, we're going to have fixed results. If we want to change our results, we also need to think about who we need to become to achieve those results, which means the shifting of an identity. And one of the things I'm fond of saying is for our clients is the birth of an identity requires the death of another. And that means we need to be able to kill off parts of our past identity in order to move forward. Cut away those things that are holding us back. Cut away the things that are tying us to our past so that we can be free to pursue the future. That's really what we're talking about there. Okay, for success secret number three, the successful practices I've seen all dare to stand out. They're brave. They're willing to do things differently. They have an opinion. They're willing to share it. And so one of the things I notice is that so many people are so scared to take a view or to have an opinion. And so they always tread the middle road. And what happens when you always tread the middle road is you always get vanilla outcomes and you never give people a reason to gravitate towards you. And so take a position, take a stance, share your thoughts, share your feelings. Now, you don't need to be offensive as you go about doing that. You don't need to denigrate anyone else in the process. But saying what you believe passionately and fervently and wholeheartedly need not be offensive to anyone else, because it's important to understand that those people that see the world the same as you will be gravitated, and they're secretly hoping someone's going to say the things that they're actually already thinking. And those people that don't agree with you, well, they'll just go and find someone else that they agree with. And that's okay, because good marketing is like a magnet. It's a polarity kind of thing. You want to be able to attract the right people and repel those people that aren't the right fit for you. So again, be prepared to take a stand, have an opinion, share it. Share it in a way that doesn't denigrate anyone else, but state your case and stand by that. It's okay to have an opinion, because if we live in this world of mediocrity and vanilla-ness, then all that's going to happen is you're going to be caught up in a sea of sameness. And then you're going to get very mediocre results, very bland outcomes, and you're never going to achieve the success that you're really seeking to achieve. Success secret number four comes from understanding that all business occurs downstream of lead generation. Now, my friend Daniel Priestley likes to say this, all business occurs downstream of lead generation, and he's absolutely correct. So please understand what that really means is if you're going to have a business, marketing is a core skill. Marketing is a fundamental skill that every single business owner, whether you're a dentist, whether you're a shopkeeper, whether you're whatever, You need to be able to generate leads. You need to be able to generate business independently of anyone else. You need to have a working knowledge of marketing. What I notice is that most people outsource it blindly. They'll say to an agency, here's the checkbook. I'm going to write you whatever check you need. And you just go and do your magic, press the magic buttons, make it rain patience on me. The problem with that, though, is you are always beholden to someone else and you're always beholden to writing bigger and bigger checks. And I don't know about you, but I see so many practice owners who have either lost money, wasted money on, you know, poor or ineffective marketing techniques. It happens all the time. And so what happens is this is not a case of delegation. This is a case of abdication. It's a case of someone saying, you know, oh my goodness me, you know, I could never possibly learn that. Now, I think it's really important to understand that the reason most people think that marketing is too hard or whatever it is because they think it's this creative process. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and that is my father is a musician. My father grew up in the 1960s musical scene. He played with some very well-known and famous bands at the time, and he's a very artistic and musical guy. And when he finished his music career, he went into marketing, and I remember as a kid sitting around the kitchen table up in New Guinea and we were having to color in things for these things he was trying to get across the board and so on. And so I falsely assumed that marketing was this creative thing. And I'm not a very creative guy. I'm a numbers, maths kind of left brain sort of guy, engineering type of brain. I like numbers and data. And the truth is that marketing is much more data science than it is creativity. So you've got to be able to understand how things work and reverse engineer them. Now, the problem is if you never learn this, as I said, you're going to be beholden to lots of people throughout your life. And what actually happens is that some people then sign up for these preferred provider schemes, which is essentially outsourcing your marketing to the point of saying, I know I'm going to make less money on this per patient, but Mr. Insurance Company, I'm trusting you to send me patients and I promise to provide these services at a fixed fee. The problem is, though, is you are now beholden to them. You've become addicted to their patient flow and you've stopped building the muscle of learning marketing. And that's like putting your head in a noose and hoping no one kicks the stool out from under you because it's really risky in business. And we see it time and again that insurance companies can and do change the parameters of their preferred provider schemes. And we're seeing over in the States people leaving preferred provider schemes in droves. I've seen it in the UK where people are leaving preferred provider schemes in droves because those insurance companies change the rules. And so now in Australia, we've got to ask ourselves, do these things serve us? Or are we signing up to these programs because we're actually too afraid to learn marketing, think we can't do marketing? But the simple truth is you can. It's just a skill. It's just like learning how to cut a crown prep. It's just like learning how to do a class 2 restoration. It is simply a skill that you need to apply yourself to learn for a period of time. And once you do, you've got it for life. And then you're never beholden to anyone else. So please understand that because all business occurs downstream of lead generation, or in our case, patient acquisition, if you don't master that, then you're always going to be beholden to someone else. And so every single practice owner that I've worked with that has achieved any level of success has taken on the responsibility of learning marketing, integrating marketing into their practices, and really being across what's happening. Yes, of course, they do use external providers. Yes, of course, they have trusted people that they can outsource things to, but they know the strategy. They're keeping an eye on things. They know the data points. They know what the return should be, and they're measuring that every single way. Here we go for success tip number 5. This is a biggie. Your success is related to your standards, not your goals. Now, I'm not dissing goals. I said in point number 1, we want to have goals. We want to have definiteness of purpose. And we do. That's really, really important. But having those goals is not enough. It's the practices that we apply day to day that really set us apart. It's no good sitting under a tree manifesting success, patience, riches, whatever it is, right? There's no good doing any of that if you're not backing it up with action. And the action really relates to the standards. So what are the standards that you're setting yourself? What are the standards of activity that become non-negotiable in your practice? What are the standards as it relates to your marketing activities? How many times a day do you ask for referrals? How many times a day do you ask for reviews? How many times do you multiply the booking? How many times do you reactivate your patients? What are the things that you can do in terms of activities that move the needle in your practice? And it's really important to identify these key activities and focus on them and set a standard. And some time ago, I used to look at these activities, these high-value activities, and I used to put a goal around them. But I don't call it a goal anymore. I call it a standard. And the reason I set it as a standard rather than a goal is because goal sounded too aspirational. Oh, we nearly got it done. We nearly got there. No, we just didn't get there. The ball was either in or it was out. We hit the standard or we didn't. And we know that if we hit the standard, our results follow like night follows day. But if we don't hit the standards, we know that our success is not forthcoming. So if we're getting the results that we want, we know that we're executing at the right level, you know, of our activities. If we're not getting the results that we're seeking, we're missing a standard in there. We're missing one of the activities and we're not doing it enough or we're not doing it at all or we're spending our time on the wrong things. We've got to have standards around the activities that move the needle forward. So that's success tip number 5. So point number 6 is about having rules of the game. And I learned this from Keith Cunningham, who is the original Rich Dad from the Rich Dad Poor Dad series. Now, of course, when it comes to business, most of the biggest issues relate to team headaches, right? Team issues, you know, equals headaches for the business owner. And team headaches usually arise because either a standard is not met or a boundary is crossed. And I've just told you about standards. Now let's talk about boundaries. Now, boundaries really, where are the lines? What am I cool with? What am I not cool with? What line can we cross? What line can't we cross? And the biggest problem that I see is people either A, don't know their boundaries, or at the very least, they certainly don't communicate those boundaries. And even then, they don't hold those boundaries, right? Because what happens is, yeah, practice owners get quietly frustrated, quietly pinged off. And you see it in the various Facebook groups, you know, venting about this or venting about that, because someone has crossed a boundary. What I'm going to suggest instead is A, you've got to know your boundaries. You've got to get clear about that in your own mind. But B, you've got to document those boundaries. And then C, you've got to communicate those boundaries very, very clearly. And lastly, you've got to hold the line on those boundaries. So when people cross those boundaries, you've got to tell them and bring them back, right? Because if you don't bring them back, they're going to keep doing it. And not only are they going to keep doing it, others will keep doing it because they don't believe the boundary is really serious because you've already caved, right? Boundaries have to be set and adhered to. And if you don't adhere to them, let me tell you, the universe is going to give you more and more and more of the stuff that you don't want until you learn the lesson, right? And the way that this usually shows up is if you have a moment of frustration and you say something intemperate or you do something you wouldn't ordinarily do and it creates a bigger mess. So if you want to prevent team issues, A, have standards, which we spoke about earlier, but B, have boundaries and communicate those boundaries and articulate them and hold people to those boundaries really, really well. And as I said, every single successful practice owner that I've ever worked with that has grown and scaled has had to work on this. It's a very important thing. It's much easier to work on while you're small than trying to do it after the fact. Do it firmly and early rather than trying to put the genie in the bottle after the fact. Do it up front and do it early. And I promise you, it'll make all the difference in the world. Alrighty, success tip number 7. Big lesson number 7 is that the fortune is in the follow-up. Now, I learned this lesson when I actually joined network marketing, and it was true for that business, it's true for our business, it's true for every business. Now, most people don't have proper follow-up processes, and dentists leave so much money on the table. It is insane the amount of money and opportunity that's just left sitting there, and people focus on getting more new stuff. When in actual fact, if they were smart enough to follow up the leads they already have or the business they already have, they would rely much less on new work because they've got so much in the pipeline already. Now, typically what we see is receptionists missing phone calls and those phone calls go unanswered, okay, or not followed up. We see incomplete treatment not being followed up. We see cancellations and no-shows not being followed up. To tighten this up really just requires having some good systems and processes in place and going the extra mile. Now, not many people are actually willing to do this because it requires a bit of elbow grease, it requires a bit of effort, it requires a bit of work, and all of those things aren't sexy. But you know what? There's a fortune waiting for those people who are actually willing to roll their sleeves up and do that work. There is so much money that people are leaving behind. It blows my mind every single day, the opportunity that is left untapped in every single practice. And all you got to do is bend over and pick up the dollar notes and they're there for you. But most people just won't pick them up because it's requiring a bit of work, a bit of effort. But if you can do that work, if you can do that effort, you'll make a fortune. So that's success secret number 7. So success tip number 8 is all around mastering money. And sadly and surprisingly, many dentists retire to financial insecurity and some actually retire to poverty, which is incredibly sad. Now, the difference between dentists and most other people in that situation is dentists have earned very well throughout their careers. Here's the problem. Here's the secret is a lot of dentists spend too much time wanting to look rich than to actually be rich. Now, I know that's going to ruffle a few people's feathers when I say that, but it's true. I see so many people taking trips they can't afford, buying cars they can't afford, buying depreciating assets with money on credit. It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy, right? And a lot of this is to gain status or recognition with their peers and friends so they look like they've got it all going on. But I know the numbers for lots of these practices, and I can tell you that there are many, many people out there in social media land wanting to look good and to look rich rather than actually getting rich. And so as a dentist, your number one commercial advantage is what you're going to earn. But the secret is you need to put some money aside. You need to put that money aside for savings and for investment. And if you're young, you got to remember that compound interest is your best friend because time is there for you. And of course, compounding takes time. The problem is when you leave it too late, you're asking to catch up very rapidly. And that means you've got to take bigger bets, bigger gambles. And that's when you're risking a lot at the latter years of your career. And it's not a fantastic position to be in. So what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to build an investment pool that's going to throw off an income stream that's going to support you after practice life. And so you can figure that out for yourself. But a rule of thumb would be if you want to have a retirement income of, say, $100,000, you're going to need roughly $2 million of assets, investment assets invested at 5% to give you the $100,000. So if you wanted to retire on $1 million, pre-tax, you'd probably need $20 million of investments and so on and so forth. So you've got to start thinking, well, what's my investment pool now? When do I want to retire? What's the mathematical equation to go from where I am today to where I need to be at that particular point in time? And make sure that your practice is producing enough income every single day, every single week, every single month to pull that money aside, put it into your investment portfolio. And remember, once a dollar is in that investment portfolio, never let it out because that little dollar is going to multiply and keep on multiplying and grow exponentially over time and get you towards your financial goals. And what that really means is when we get to point number 9, which is about building a practice to sell, you're already going to have an investment stream, an investment income that's going to support you no matter what the practice does. And that's really what I see our successful business owners doing. That's what I see them doing is quarantining money, putting it outside the practice, building their wealth outside the business, not giving every dollar back to their business and reinvesting too heavily back into the practice. You've got to quarantine some money for external wealth creation. Very, very important. All right, so number 9, I've already alluded to this. Success tip number 9 is the mindset of building to sell. And so here's the key, is we are all going to exit our businesses one day, either by choice or by circumstance. Now, hopefully it's by choice, but what we want to make sure is that when you do exit your business, that the sale price you get is the cherry on the cake. It's not the actual cake itself. And that's going to be really, really key and really, really important. So please remember the importance of mastering money. As I've just said in secret number 8, you want to continue to take money out of the practice, build your investment portfolio, as I just indicated. But when it comes to selling your practice, we want to make sure that this practice has maximal value, right? And the way it's going to be maximally valued is when it doesn't rely on you to either generate income or to run it. And so what that means is you're going to need to be able to create demand for your services through effective marketing. You're going to need to have productive dentists who can use that patient flow to generate revenue. You're going to need a self-managing team who can run the business on a day-to-day basis without you being there. You're going to need to have some reporting structures in place so you can see at a glance what's happening in the business and you can steer the business remotely. Right? That's going to be what drives enterprise value in your practice. And equally, here's the other thing too, is this is something that sounds a little morbid, but it's important as well, is if you happen to exit your practice not by choice, but through circumstance, whether it's through illness or death or something similar, it's your relatives that have to pick up the ball. It's your relatives that have to deal with the consequence of that. And it's very hard to sell a business if it's dependent on you. It has much less value. And so if you want to make things easy for your relatives, build a business that can be sold easily. And as I said, the way to do that is to make sure that business does not rely on you. So whether you are early in your career and you're thinking, well, Jesse, that's too far off. I'm not there yet. I'm only 35 years old. Or even if you're at the end of your practicing life and you're already thinking about selling a business, the mindset of building it to sell is going to shape what you create in the meantime. And that is the key. Building a business that is sellable, even if you choose not to sell it. And here's the other fun thing. A business that can be sold easily is also fun to run. And that's really, really important. So there you have it. There are the 9 secrets of running a successful business. There's 9 essential business lessons there for every single practice owner. And I hope you hear those lessons, and I hope you think about those lessons, and I hope you implement those lessons, because if you want to have success in your life, it is within your grasp, it is within your reach. All you need to do is to take these 9 lessons and implement it and watch yourself go further than you ever imagined. Take good care. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.